Hello, and welcome to the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative to record America's family history in sound. Oral histories are one of the most personal and rewarding ways to preserve family stories. The Tell Me a Story sessions are 45-minute interviews between two people with the assistance of a trained facilitator. Participants will receive a compact disc with the full interview. A copy will be archived at the Midwest Genealogy Center and, with permission, later made available to the public. And now, another story.
And go.
This is Jim Nunley, and I have the pleasure of recording some very important history, maybe even lost history, about what's going on in our city, in our community, and in our nation. But before we get to the very specifics of that, Mark Twain once said about his father. He said, when I was 14, my father was so ignorant, I was so embarrassed, he was so dumb, he just made all kind of mistakes, and he didn't know nothing. But when I became 21, I was surprised, pleasantly surprised, at how much my father had learned in just 7 years. The idea here is that if you live a long time, you'll find out that not only do people know a lot, but you find out that you don't know very much at all. And today we're going to delve into the part where I am going to listen to those who know about this history, and maybe we'll both be enriched as a result of that. We have with us today
Leslie Sims.
All right. And Leslie Sims, where were you born and how did you get to Kansas City?
I was born in Gillette, Arkansas, April the 30th, 1936.
You're right.
I lived in Gillette, Arkansas.
Okay. Got that.
My father, Miranda Pickett, was a minister, and we moved to Kansas City in 1950.
All right. So you're a preacher's kid.
Yeah. Right? I am a preacher.
You're a preacher as well. Is that right? Now, so you got that from your father, or you just, is it a kind of a family thing or what?
Well, he raised me from a youngster, and I stayed with him all till he died in 1956.
All right. Now tell me about
My father in DeWitt, Arkansas, was Buddy Sims. And he's a friend to Reverend, I'm going to say, to the President, the last President.
Oh, Clinton.
Yeah.
That's right. He's from Arkansas, too.
Yeah. He barbecued for 46 years.
Is that right? Is Gillette close to Hope? That's where President Clinton was from.
He went to Hope. My father went to Hope and took his a picture of his way he lived at.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, now tell me this, Brother Sims. Now, is Gillette about the size of New York City?
No way.
No way. All right, tell me about how big Gillette is.
Oh, about 500 people.
About 500 people. So are there a lot of black people in Gillette?
Quite a few.
And 500 out of the 500, how many you say are black?
Oh, about 200.
About 200. So it's a fairly diverse city.
Uh-huh.
Is it a farming community?
It is a farming community.
And what are their race?
Rice.
Rice.
And oats and all that.
Okay. So it's in central Arkansas?
Yeah, about the central.
Okay, but if that's not right, what's it close to?
It's close to Mississippi line.
To Mississippi line, so it's western Arkansas.
Yeah, it might be.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's up there. You're close to Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Okay, in that area. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, have they got a McDonald's in Gillette?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. Now we've kind of got a little basis there on Gillette, Arkansas. And please, I don't mean to to make fun of Gillette. I'm just trying to loosen this up here so we can have this conversation, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's move on. You said you came here in 1950 with your father. Tell me about that.
1950.
Tell me about that.
I came to Kansas City. I was 15 years old.
Okay.
I went to R.T. Coles, and when I was about 20 years old, I went to Monarch Bowl.
Okay. We're gonna get to the bowl there, but okay. just tell me about what was happening in Kansas City when you were
when I was 15 years old.
Yeah. And it's 1950.
Okay. I went to Kresge's downtown, and it was segregated.
Okay.
And I could only buy hot dogs on the outside when we go in on the outside.
Right.
And I wasn't allowed upstairs in upstairs.
In the department store itself.
Uh-huh, itself.
Now, where is Kresge's, or where was Kresge's?
I think it was at 12th and... down about 12th and Main.
So how'd you get around in 1950? I mean, what was the mode of car? Did you have a car? Did you have what? How'd you get around?
I went on the street bus. Let me say
streetcar.
The streetcar.
Okay, so streetcars were back in 1950.
Uh huh.
So tell me about them streetcars.
It was real neat. I mean, you could get on and I think pay about a dime or 15 cents. and it was nice, and I did a lot of walking in 1952.
So the streetcar didn't go everywhere.
Yeah.
So where did you get on? Like, where did you live, and how did you
I lived at 1826 Agnes. I walked to the nearest station. Let me back up off of that.
Okay.
I lived at 14th and Forest, and I caught the street bus right off of Troost and 14th Street.
Okay.
And that's how I got around.
That's how you got out. So you're downtown and you're at Kresge's, and you mentioned you couldn't go into the rest of the store. Tell me more about that. That seems real segregation. Tell me about that.
I had one cousin in Kansas, and I went by and they look you over, and if you didn't buy something, you wanted you to, you know, to get out. So I left, and that's all I know about a lot of the things down there, because I wasn't able to get in there.
I hear you. Now, coming up from Arkansas and coming to Missouri up north and whatever, was there a difference between the way you were treated in Arkansas and the way you were treated here?
No difference.
Okay, now tell me about that.
When I came to Kansas City, my grandfather left me. I promised to help him for 2 weeks before we come to Kansas City. My grandmother was here. She was the one that really looked out for me. But her relatives was here in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And so my grandfather said, if you'll stay here 2 more weeks with me till I get this muscadine that he was picking up, I say, well, after that, I'm going to leave.
So tell me about that again. What is muscadine? Tell me what.
He used to make grapes out of it.
Okay. All right.
grape wine.
Okay.
I say grapes, oh, okay. Muscadine wine.
Okay.
And so I said, after 2 weeks, I'm leaving. He put me on a bus. I went to the back of the bus, and I came to Kansas City. And after I came to Kansas City, I stayed at 14th Street. And so,
tell me about that back of the bus.
It was hard to explain, but they didn't allow you to sit up front. So I went to the back.
So what did you feel while you was back there on that back of that bus?
Well, I just wanted to be quiet and not cause any trouble because, I didn't want anything to be said because I was leaving there, but I went, well, it was real prejudice there.
I see.
It was real prejudice. When I came to Kansas City, it was still prejudice.
All right, I got that, and I'm going to get back to that in a minute, but just picture yourself going up the steps of that bus coming to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Did you just go to the back of the bus automatically, or did they tell you to go to the back of the
bus?
They
didn't tell me. I just went to the back.
I just knew
that's what it was, like in Arkansas.
Okay.
At that time.
Okay.
At that time, I just knew to go to the back of the bus. I didn't ask any questions. I just went on back.
Okay. All right. Now, so when you were coming up on that bus ride, what were you expecting to happen different in Kansas City? Now, I know it was just like what you said, but what were you expecting different?
I really didn't expect anything different.
You didn't?
I mean, I just run into whatever it was here.
Okay.
That I've learned since I've got into Kansas City that it was no different from being in Arkansas.
All right. Were there a lot of people from the South in Kansas City at that time?
As I got a chance to know a lot of people was from the South.
Okay. Where did you eventually work?
I worked for, Melody Lane. I'm going to say it, Monarch Bowl first.
Okay.
That's where I started working.
All right, let's get into that. Okay, you started working at Monarch Lane's. Okay, this is a bowling alley. What? Describe it to me physically. What did it look like? First, where was it?
It's on 18th Street.
On
18th and Vine.
18th and Vine. Okay, now describe it to me.
It was a brick building. Inside, it was okay. Nice. I think it had about 8 to 10 lanes.
Okay.
And I was a pin setter.
Okay. And what is a pin setter?
A pin setter is one that when the bowler bowls, he knocks the pins over and then you put them in the rack and put it down, the rack so it come down with the pins in it.
All right. Now before we talk more about the pin setter and whatever, now let's get this building straight. It's on 18th and Vine.
Uh-huh.
It's a brick building.
Uh-huh.
And what do you see when you go inside?
Seats.
Seats.
The approach, the lanes, the pins, restaurant.
So it had a restaurant in it.
Yeah, it had a
restaurant. It was more than just a bowling alley?
Yeah.
It was more of a what?
Facility, wherever you...
Okay. Did kids hang out in there? Or was it
they main had, adults? They had some kids, some children hang out.
Okay. All right, now, okay, so what period of time are we in?
56.
We're 1956. So there's a bowling alley, and it's on 18th and Vine,
yeah.
Right in the middle of the black businesses or whatever, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Okay, and so is it a thriving business or just...
At that time, it was pretty thriving.
Okay.
Had pretty good bowling in that building, at that place.
All right, so what else? You say it was a restaurant in there. Anything else in there? Was there any pinball machines or anything like that?
I don't remember.
You don't remember all that. All right, so tell me about this pin setter again. Now, how much money did you make?
I can't remember. I made enough to get to the shore.
A date or two, huh?
I made enough to keep money in my pocket.
All right,
yeah,
now.
Yeah, well, I made enough.
Was that a good job considered?
Well, for me it was because when I was in Arkansas, we owned our own land, farm. Mm-hmm. And when I came to Kansas City, to me, that was kind of a luxury deal.
Yeah.
I had money.
Had money.
Yeah.
Coming from somewhere else, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Now, tell me about this. I mean, who was Monarch Bowl owned by?
Miss Hess.
Miss Hess. Tell me about Miss Hess.
She was a kind of a thin lady. I remember her. I can't remember all of her name, but I do know Miss Hess was the owner.
Okay.
Mr. Kerfoot was her assistant manager that looked out after everything.
Okay, and is this the Kerfoot of Kerfoot Funeral Home?
I don't know whether he was Kerfoot Funeral Home, but his name was Kerfoot.
Kerfoot. Okay. All right, now tell me, was Miss Hess black? Was she white?
She was white.
She was white.
She was a white lady.
Okay, and she was Mr. Kerfoot black or white?
Mr. Kerfoot was black.
Was a black guy.
Uh-huh.
So the owner was black, but the owner was white, but the manager was
right.
Black.
Right, he was black.
Okay, how many employees, how many other people were around? Now you got 8 to 10 lanes, right?
Yeah.
Okay, how many other pin setters were there?
It was a whole lot. My cousin, Odell Wright, started me into, he got a job there first, and then I come in after that, but it was quite a bit of us. I remember Raymond Walker, and it was several of us.
All right. Were you all friends?
Yeah, a lot of us was friends.
Okay. All right, so you got on this streetcar, and that's how you got to work every day, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. You're at this pin setter, and you got a lot of money in your pocket, more than you ever had before, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, where was the girls in your life? And you can tell me. I won't tell nobody.
I've been married 55 years, so I've been I say it wasn't a lot of girls around. We met some. I can't remember their name going back that far. And so one of the reasons why that I got good remembrance of some of the things, but I did have a stroke in December, I'm going to say December the 8th of 2010. Okay. So some of the things I'm trying to remember, okay. I can't go back. But
you're doing well.
There was several ladies that I did hang out with, just friends.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. Nothing. So when did you meet your wife?
I met my wife December the 23rd, 1957.
All right.
And we've been married to this day. She's waiting on me to get back home to go to the fitness center.
All right. All right, well, this has been an enjoyable moment, and we're going to move into other parts of it. I just want to kind of put us all in perspective.
Okay.
And it's always interesting to me that people carry so many feelings for a long time.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they don't share them at the time. And, of course, this happens to us all, and as you know, you're more expressive as you get. Do you find that you're more expressive now about your feelings than you were, let's say, in 1950 or even 1956?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and what are some of the feelings that you had stored up?
Some of the things that I used to feel about bowling and about
whatever life. You want, wherever you want to go with that.
Yeah, about life. Since I've been changed, I have a different feel. By the Lord, I have a different outlook. You know.
Okay. And what does that mean?
I look at people as they are. I can ignore them or just go on with my life as it is. You know, I forgive them. I know they make mistakes. I make a mistake, and so I can forgive and live a better life because I know their habits, and if I don't want to be around them, I just don't want to be around them.
I hear you now. All right, let me take you up to a few days ago. You came up to me. What made you come up to me and start talking?
I had been asked to give an interview, asked by several people to give an interview about what happened during the 50s and how I come into knowing about bowling and knowing about life as we relate today about different issues. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that I might have a little bit to put into whatever it is with going on in in the bowling world.
Okay, but why me?
Because they said that you were in charge. And one of the ladies from St. James told me, hey, you need to speak to Mr. Nonnelly. He'll be the one. And then when I came, got a chance to come and meet you, I said, well, I do have something that I would like to say about down at Melody Lane, right, and whatever.
That's right. Well, you know, let me tell you what I felt. When you came up and started talking to me, I said, I said, he's got a story to tell. And I was just, I was so moved.
Thank you.
By just how you handled me. You didn't say, look, I need you or whatever. You just said, hey, I know a little bit about this, and I'm just glad we're talking today, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's get into this bowling thing. You're at a bowling alley, you're working, you met your wife somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
Tell me about bowling. Did you take on bowling because you knew about it, or you just went to work every day? I mean, what went on from that point?
After that point, I learned how to set pins, whatever, and then I learned how to bowl.
Okay.
I practiced a little bit, and I've seen some of the best bowlers in Kansas City, J.C. Collins and Al Walton and Oprah Highshaw and all of those guys, and I said, "Oh man, I'd like to be one of them. I'd like to be." And I kept bowling, and then later on, I got a chance to get with those guys. Later on, I got a chance to move out of that rink into
good bowler.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now tell me about J.C. Collins. Was he as good as they say he was?
J.C. Collins was the best bowler in Kansas City.
What made him good?
Well, the only thing that I could see, he concentrated on bowling. You know, he was very conscious about how he put his ball, how he handled himself, and he was one of the best bowlers that I've seen.
Okay, so why did you think he was such a good bowler? I mean, what attracted you to him? What made you want to be like him?
I wanted to be like him because he was one of the best.
He's one of the best.
Yeah.
Was there anything about what he did that you liked more than anything else?
Just the way he put his ball on the lane. I just like to be there.
Way he laid it down,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Now, did you pick up that?
Yes.
Is that what? Okay.
Yes, I did.
All right. So how good a bowler did you become?
I bowled 299.
You bowled a 299. Almost perfect.
Huh? Almost perfect. I had it in there, but a 10 pin stood on me.
I'll be doggone. Oh, what do they say? They call that 10 pin a lot of names. So that meant that you bowled a perfect game up to the 12th attempt.
Right.
And you got 9 pins in there.
9 pins.
And what did you say when that 10 pin was standing up there? Oh, come on now, tell me.
I said, oh my goodness.
So that was your best score, the 299.
Yeah. But going into Melody Lane.
Okay, I'm going to get to Melody then. Let me finish up here with you, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. Okay, now, are you, as a bowler, when you were you always shooting for 300?
No.
No, okay.
I was shooting for the best that I could.
Okay.
Yeah, best that I could. And I have to say that when I get to Premier.
Okay.
You know, when I get
when you would bowl on Tuesdays.
Yeah, that's where I was bowling.
Okay, very good. And what was your best average at your best time in life?
About 195.
195.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but you got that one game in there where it went to 299.
Uh-huh.
Were there a lot of people in the bowling alley when you did that?
A lot of people there. Okay. And some of the best bowlers there right now.
They's watching.
Watch me put the 299 on the board.
Did it get quiet?
Yeah,
it
got quiet. And when I got up there, I said, I had 11 strikes. I said, when I get this one, I got to make sure that I put that ball out there. So when I let it go, boy, it was going toward the headpin.
And you knew it was
right in there.
Okay, did you get excited
I got excited after it hit.
After it hit. Okay. Yeah. All right. But, I mean, while it was going at it, did you know that ball was going to get in that pocket?
Yeah, I knew it was going to get in there.
Okay. Did you get any lucky strikes along the way?
One.
Okay. What happened?
Hook and strike.
Oh, yeah, hook and strike. So Brooke. So you hit it over on the other side.
Yeah.
So the rest of your strikes were where you wanted to be.
Where I wanted them to be.
Okay, so what happened? How did you get to the Brooklyn? You let it go too quickly or what?
I must have let it go too quick.
Okay. And again, you didn't lay it down like J.C. Collins.
Didn't lay it down like J.C. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Melody Lanes. Okay, we're moved off of 18th Street now, and we're now at 41st in Indiana.
Right.
So tell me about it. Did you know Mr. Long?
Oh, yes.
Okay, tell me about Mr. Long first.
Mr. Long, he was a nice guy. He was a friend of mine. And may I say that I was the lane man, at Plaza Bowl. Okay.
All right, so you had two jobs?
Well, I was at Plaza Bowl, but I bowled at Melody. But I put on the first finish. Okay. I was a finishing man.
Okay, but I'm going to get to that in a minute. Okay. And I mean, that was a part, you remember, that we talked about that already. But let me get Mr. Long in here. Mr. Long is a black entrepreneur, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so tell me about him. Was he just...
He was a nice guy, handsome, nice hair, good guy.
Why do you say nice hair? Tell me about that.
Kind of curly.
It wasn't beaded up and stuff.
No, it wasn't like that.
Okay, all right. So go ahead.
And he was the general manager. And
of Melody.
Yeah.
So he wasn't the owner.
No.
Okay.
Mr. and Mrs. Pollitt.
Okay, were they white?
Yeah.
Okay, so he kind of fronted. Is that?
Yeah.
Where?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go. Mm-hmm.
He was. Mr. and Mrs. Pollitt were the owners. I met them, and so I fell in love with Mr. Long. He was a good friend of mine and wanted me to bowl on his team.
All right. So tell me, you're putting this floor down.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, are you a carpenter by trade?
I was a lane man. I learned it at Plaza Bowl, and then when Melody Lane got ready to open up, Long knew that I was a lane man. I come in and put four coats of finish on the lanes, got the approaches already, put the fifth finishing coat on the lanes, and everything was started at Melody Lane by me.
All right, now that's the conversation I wanted to have with you.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Now tell me about putting this lane and stuff down. I mean, what did you feel? I mean, just, you're now, you've been a pin setter and you bowled a little bit, you got married in between, and now you're a real bona fide, well-known lane man. Now, how did it make you feel?
Make me feel good. Dusty, a guy named Dusty at Plaza Bowl, had showed me how to put the lane down, put it all in me, and I was a lane man for them so long. Had me to come over to Melody Lane. And so I was able to take the applicator, take the material that I had, put it down, both coats, then the finishing coat, the lane for the approaches, I put that on and everything. So that's how
it happened. How long did it take you to do all that?
About 2 days.
About 2 days? Were people watching you?
No.
Nobody uses all your
this
artwork.
This is all
right?
my
okay.
work.
All right. So how did people feel at that time about opening up Melody Lanes? I mean, this is way south at this point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're moving south and the business opened up. Like, what were they saying on the streets about Melody Lanes opening
up? It was just a nice place to be. Have a new lane, have a new house. And that's all I can... Can't remember everything back there.
All right. What time, what in terms of time, where are we now? 1962. Did people go there?
I mean, oh, yeah.
Did J.C. Collins go there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's, all the bowlers just went there.
Went there.
Okay. How many lanes did it have?
I think it was 12 to 16.
Had a little bar on the side there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And restaurant.
Right there.
Right there.
All right.
And I watched J.C. when he was at Melody Lane at down in
Monarch.
Yeah, Monarch. And I said I wanted to be like, get on that team.
Okay, on the team with him.
Yeah.
Okay.
At night at Plaza Bowl, I would bowl half of the night, getting myself ready.
Just trying to get ready for this, huh?
And I made the team.
Did you really?
Yes.
And where did you bowl in the lineup?
I bowled number one.
You bowled number one.
Number one, and J.C. was number five.
Okay, he was the cleanup guy.
And if you had to bowl 300, he would not let you beat him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He was a competitor, huh?
He was a competitor.
Okay, so how did it make you feel bowling with your idol all the way back from there? Just give me what.
I was elated because I was 21 or 22 years old and bowling with one of the best teams in Kansas City. I was elated over that.
You was in there, huh? Now, yeah. Now they say J.C. was kind of arrogant or kind of cranky. Was that true?
Yeah. He was, yeah. He wanted you to be, you know, hey.
At your best.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was. But he didn't have no trouble out of me being my best. I was number one.
All right, so he didn't have to get to you.
He didn't have to get on some of us, but he was a good guy, though.
Okay. He's still kind of touchy, then.
He's still feisty. Yeah, he's still touchy. If you know, he'll tell you, he'll call you aside, and you need to put that ball so-and-so, you know. He'll tell you.
Did he know what he was talking about?
Oh, yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
All right, final question. We've visited with you, and we've learned a whole lot about you, and I want you to know I'm privileged to hear you, especially how proud you were to put those lanes down, because we kind of forget in our society that people have talents that we don't know about, and they apply those talents, and sometimes they're talented but unknown, and I feel like I want to place you in that category because I would not know from knowing you except that you told me out at Premier that you finished those lanes off.
I did.
And that's pride.
Yeah.
And so I'm just want to say thank you for that.
I would like to say that Joe Standard Service, we was the champions at Melody Lane.
Mm-hmm.
For many years, and J.C. has my picture. I was the youngest man on the team.
Is there
it's any? Only two of us living now, J.C. and myself.
Okay, have you got that picture somewhere?
My wife had it last Saturday at the house, and I was on there, and I told her. She said she misplaced it, and she was trying to find it, but I was on that team.
Okay.
That we won. I can get it from J.C.
All right. Well, you get that picture. Now, on the 29th, okay, we're going to have the history thing at Bruce Watkins. Do you know about that?
Yeah.
At 4 o'clock.
I didn't know it, but I will.
Yeah, it's at 4 o'clock, and it's at Bruce Watkins Culture Center, and we're going to recognize all of the older bowlers from the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Okay,
and so we want you to be a part of that, but I also want to give you a chance to tell the story about Melody Lane.
Okay.
And the part you played in it.
Yeah.
Okay? It is a privilege to talk with you. It's even more of a privilege to get to know you, and you got a friend for a long time. Okay?
Okay,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
And God bless you.
All right.
All right.